And we're back.
Black and a Half, episode number 67.
With Danny Littlejohn.
With Danny Littlejohn. He's our guest today. I am Silas Lindenstein, though.
Manny Martin.
And we are here for our weekly program, mostly weekly. welcome to Black and a Half, the longest running comedy podcast in Seattle.
Probably.
Dude, we had a timing thing. Probably. Come on. Danny Littlejohn and I. You're going to see a lot of stuff from Black and a Half over the next month.
Yeah.
Besides this podcast, we're going to be doing
some film stuff.
Maybe launching this week. Hopefully it's already out by the time you see this. We're doing an Indiegogo to raise money for some little films. We're just trying to raise $1,000 to help with this 48-hour film project. Help pay people, or not pay people, pay for food for people.
Yeah, let's not get disqualified.
Yeah, we're not paying people. We're paying for food for people.
Yeah, and equipment and all that.
Yeah, jazz. All that stuff. So check that out. You can go to blackandahalf.com/fundraiser, and it should have info on there. And your contributions are, you, the fans, help make this.
Yeah.
You know, and so.
We thank you.
Do your share. You know, we bring you the entertainment for free right now on this podcast. You know, because we have to do like Indiegogo now because I think bake sales are done.
Yeah,
right?
I think so.
Like, I think GoFundMe pretty much killed that. People are just like, you know what? My aunt's sick. Can we do a bake sale? Can we bake everything? And now they're like, you know what? Just go beg.
That homeless just dude, go. Like, really, like, fucked up the whole thing. Like, what? Did you hear about that? The one that, like, he gave the last dollar, or he gave his last, like, couple dollars to get, like,
and
give them gas.
Fake,
and it was fake.
Right?
And they raised, like, $400,000.
Oh.
Oh. God, yes. Not us people. We are legit.
No, we legitimately don't have the money. You're like, Silas, but what's all this? I know you're buying all these avocados and Honeycrisp apples. Like, you got money? And I'm like, look, you got to separate that money.
Totally. Well,
you got to separate film and personal. Look what happened to Wesley Snipes, right?
Yeah, very true.
He messed with the boss.
And,
yeah. Blade went to jail.
Yeah.
All right? So I could go to jail.
Yeah,
so we need to separate this funds.
We're going to be honest with you.
Also, last year, you know, I didn't have three eating children.
Yeah.
A year ago, Finn was just eating milk.
Yeah.
That was cheap.
All we need.
I just needed to feed the source.
Exactly. Yeah.
I got to feed everybody. It was horrible. And we got to, you know, we want to get everyone a good craft services.
But this is a great episode. We talk about a lot of good stuff.
Danny Littlejohn, he's our, he's the native.
Yeah.
Resident native
of the Seattle comedy scene.
That's right.
He's also a filmmaker as well. He helped me with a coming out short film.
Oh, that's right.
It was fun.
Available on Amazon Prime. You can check that out.
Yeah.
Every time you see that, I have a chance at 1 cent.
There you
so,
go. Boom.
You know,
nice.
It's all starting to work out.
Totally.
If you're
starting to work
paper,
out. For
me. I mean, those pennies.
People need to just. They need to make my playlist of the two films I have on there and just keep playing them.
Yeah.
Whenever you're home. You know, you're home, you're going to cook something, just start it.
That's a good point.
Go do
That's
something.
That's a good point. We might not even need Indiegogo.
Yeah.
You guys just watch enough of the film.
Right?
You just watch. If everybody listening to this podcast just watched the films 1 million times,
we'd be
good. Might raise enough money.
There you go.
Do you ever wonder how you get your pennies, though? How do you get your pennies out of that?
It says.
I know, but how do you get it?
You have to earn like $20 first or something.
Oh, then they send you a check.
So that's your key. Yeah, they hold on to those pennies for a while.
Damn.
It's streaming is a rough life.
Ugh.
We're doing the Indiegogo. Today's episode is brought to you by begging. Begging.
Begging, yes.
Yeah.
Digital begging.
Digital begging.
Digital
begging. We take it to another level. We're not waiting on street corners for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not going to harass you when you're walking into a place.
Yeah.
We'll just harass you in your earbuds.
Yeah. Just think of us as like the Girl Scouts, but, you know.
But cuter in a dress.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
That's right. Big thanks. Skyline Properties, using the space there. If you are interested in buying or selling a home, please go to silasgetsreal.com. And, you know, that's where you can connect with me. And we can get you set up in a home or sell that piece of junk you're living in right now. Everything will be good. And that helps support us, too. By doing that, we don't have to beg constantly for money. I'm just begging you to buy a house. To buy a t-shirt. Yeah,
that would also help fund.
Yeah.
I have a house for sale in West Seattle. It's on the market, not with Silas, but if it sells and they mention this podcast, I will put 20 pennies stacked up towards the GoFundMe.
Boom. There you go. He's going to be like Uncle Scrooge, man. He's going to be diving into the
That's pennies. The court ordered one, right?
I'll court
ordered? Court ordered one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
one of those.
I was going to see if I'm going to delete his pod. You didn't use me?
I know.
Screw you. Tossing me out of there.
She got to choose.
Ah.
I was gonna choose you.
I picked the wrong one.
Yeah,
women.
I was gonna. I picked Dan.
Right.
I picked
Danny.
I should have picked her to be friends with. Right. Why did I do that? Oh, I met her once. Ah.
Choices. Choices.
I made a bad choice. I told Danny, I was like, we should stage a fight.
Yeah.
And then she might use me.
There you go.
Like when she thinks that you're mad at me, she's like, "Hey, Silas, you should be mine." I'm like, Danny, say that I was like, you got to fight with me because you were he was sticking up for you for some reason. I don't I don't understand it. He's supposed to be my friend. She's like, I like that guy. But it's good episode.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Like, listen, subscribe, tell a friend to tell a friend.
Tell a friend to tell a friend. Episode number 67, Danny Littlejohn.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission.
I've become really good at joining Facebook groups and getting involved and stuff.
Nice.
But lately I've wanted more peace in my life. So I joined a bonsai group.
Yeah.
And I had no idea people would even fight in a bonsai group.
That's all people do online.
Yeah.
Fucking fight, man. That's so stupid.
Is there? Like, I was like, but this is about trees.
Yeah.
Like, this is a tree.
It could be the simplest thing. Like,
people get mad, like, you pulled it up at the wrong time. It's never going to survive. You are disrespecting the art of bonsai.
Oh, my God.
Bonsai. Are you going to say bonsai?
Bonsai. Yeah. Was it a bonsai tree in Karate Kid?
Yes.
The bonsai tree. Oh, bonsai. Yeah. Because then he opens up in the sequel.
You're talking about the new YouTube series.
Or the number three.
No, he's a car dealer.
Hold on. I'm talking about Miyagi.
Bad. Okay. That's
Miyagi,
right.
Danny helps him open little Mr. Miyagi's little trees, right?
Something like that, right?
Yeah.
And then they always like mispronounce Miyagi.
I feel like
they
you're not even a true fan.
Fuck you. I'm a huge fan.
I don't know. You don't
used
even
to practice
know what's
that.
Going on.
You remember the kata that he used to do at the very end and like third one? And then he like flipped him. And like the third one got serious too.
Was that the one with the girl?
Yeah. The third one was
Hillary
with the girl.
Spank?
Yeah. Yeah. And then they like John Barnes was like trying to kill him, like literally trying to kill Daniel LaRusso. And he was like at the very end when he like was beating the shit out of.
Is John Barnes the.
He's the bad guy.
The blonde?
Yeah. He's the bad guy who, like, was literally like, you're not, he was like, you're karate shit, LaRusso, you're shit. He was like, your teacher's nothing. Get in that ring. I'm gonna, you know, and he tries to win the title, then he gets flipped and he gets beat and stuff. I was like, man, this shit is getting real. Like, Karate Kid 3, like,
oh,
went to the
you know
streets.
What? I never saw Karate Kid.
I didn't
you
either.
Never saw
no,
Karate Kid
no.
3?
No, I just figured it wasn't.
Guys, oh, so who's the real fan now? You guys.
Well, I figured Danny wasn't in it. Danny's not in it, right?
Daniel LaRusso's in it.
Wait, I thought it was... The Hillary Swank one.
So, no, oh, I see what you're saying. Not the Hillary Swank. Okay, so that's four. So, the first one is the one that we all remember with the crane kick.
Yep.
The second one is the one where they do the, like, the little clapping things where he's in Japan.
Yeah.
The third one is where Mr. Miyagi won't teach him to defend his title. So,
you know, I did see that once, and I don't think I remember anything from it.
And so, Mr. Miyagi won't teach him, so he decides to go to, like, this guy who's, like, a hidden Cobra Kai guy.
Yeah.
And like,
oh, an operative.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I'm remembering this
And
now.
He's, like, trying to, like, break, like, not cinder blocks, but, like, these 2x4s, and he's, like, bruising his feet.
That's
and,
right.
Like,
no, yeah. I remember this now. I remember
And he's like, that's not your blood. That's his blood. Keep punching this thing, you know? And it's he's just, like, you know, and then finally Mr. Miyagi teaches him, and then he teaches him the kata, and then he finally gets him.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. Now I remember this.
Yeah.
I gotta watch that again.
I'm telling you, man, it was, that shit got real. He was especially when he was swearing at him, he's like, "You shit, LaRusso," and they were trying to kill him throughout the thing. I'm like, is this a karate tournament?
Now, Jesus wait, Christ. was the teacher who the bad guys?
Yeah, like
was
ponytail?
The Cobra Kai teacher. Yeah. Was he in the third one?
Yes.
Okay, so it's the fourth. I just listened to an interview about with that guy.
Yeah.
Talking about it, he was supposed to be in the fourth one.
Okay,
but he couldn't get out of they couldn't let him do it for. He was doing something else for Disney, company, but he was doing some other series, and they're like, the timing just isn't going to work, man. We can't do it for you. So that's why they brought in someone else,
right,
to kind of take his role, and they just switched it up a little. But I guess he's in. Have you seen the YouTube series?
I heard it's really good. Have you seen it?
No.
I just heard great things, and I'm like, I want to.
I've seen the previews, but it looks legit. So you get. I don't know if you've heard about how it is, and I won't spoil it for anybody. At least try not to, since I haven't seen it myself.
Yeah.
But, so the guy who lost in the first one, what was his name? Johnny Lawrence or something like that? Or
yeah, Johnny.
Like, yeah, yeah. He's like, go on, get him, Johnny!
Yeah.
And then, so Johnny has a kid. Who is it? Is it Daniel who has a kid? Okay, so I think like Johnny has a kid or something. And
this is a great recap of something.
I know, seriously. Yeah.
Well, now who?
Like, so basically, he has a kid, and like something like Daniel LaRusso's training his kid, and then like and vice versa or something like that. And I don't know, he gets beat. And it's,
well, I know that there's something about it is that the lines aren't clear this time on who's a good guy and who's a bad guy. And maybe you see the other guy's point of view a little bit more, and you're like, and that both of them can't let anything go from the past.
Like LaRusso's a car dealer, and then the other guy's just like kind of a deadbeat, but he's also like training these kids.
But, and I'm totally like, and they're like, these guys just can't get over it. And I was like, but I'm like, how do you, I don't know. I still hold grudges. Yeah. I hold grudges from high school.
Yeah,
absolutely. I remember everyone who called me the N-word.
Yeah, you lived a different reality than most people. Yeah. Yeah,
but like.
That's Boston. You know what I mean? Like, that's common vocabulary out there.
But I remember everyone who wronged me. And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
No.
I feel like you've been slighted. You've been jaded. Or like, you know.
But everyone has. Yeah. Everyone has in different ways.
But well, you dealt with real nerds.
You still remember.
Yeah.
You tell me about the one that the fight, the school riot you started.
Oh, shit.
Stuff, right?
Yeah. I don't even know if I have that told though.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was these Filipinos that always used to pick on me and were like, black people can't be Catholic. And I was just like, I used to just let that shit go, man. And then like one day,
he just snapped.
Him and his boys like came up on me, and like there was like seven of them. And dude clocked me with a shirt from behind, and like they walked by laughing. It was three of us. And then all the black kids surrounded them later in the day. And it was me and this dude fighting in the middle, and everybody jumped on these. Like, I was like, holy shit, I didn't want
to. Started a race war.
Started a race war, man. But they were this little gang called Junior Bomb Squad, and used to throw water balloons at people during the day. And, like, they were, like, evil, you know what I mean? And I was like.
Water balloon.
Yeah.
Then one day someone filled one with bleach.
Yeah, that's what I had to tell him. I was like, you're the weak, and I'm the tyranny of evil men. But no, it was this shit was. Did you ever have any bullies growing up?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
White people.
Oh yeah. Mostly my family. But yeah, we can talk about Catholicism a little bit too.
Yeah.
I'm baptized Catholic.
Me too, but I don't really follow it as closely.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it's a good story. I'm a bastard child.
Okay. Right?
I'm a love child from the 70s.
Nice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and. My mom was 18 when she had me, returning war vet.
Oh, shit.
Dad.
Dad was a war vet?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Your mom wasn't?
No. Okay. She was just getting out of high school.
Oh, okay. Damn.
Hey, no problem. My mom was, she wasn't in high school because she had run away. So
yeah, right.
She wasn't even in high school.
Jen Seaman has a joke about that, too, with her mom. Yeah, so,
yeah. And I'm got a joke in the works, like, I'm literally born like 9 months after Roe v. Wade.
Oh,
shit. So like I thank my mom sometimes, like thanks.
Hell yeah.
she had an opportunity.
Yeah, bro, man.
You know, and so
they're like, you don't have to anymore, right?
But then the Catholicism comes in. Right?
Oh, right.
Right. So she grew up Catholic, and came time for me to be baptized.
Yeah.
And I'm this little bastard baby in this little small town, Minnesota.
Oh.
And so the story goes that my Irish Gramp stormed down to the rectory and was like, no, this is my grandkid and you're fucking baptizing him.
Wow.
And so my grandpa essentially saved my soul.
Oh, okay. All right.
You know.
There you go. That's
yeah. And then my dad's Lutheran.
Oh, okay.
Did they baptize?
I don't know.
Yeah, dude, that's crazy. So do you still follow?
No. And then my mom was so jaded by going through Catholic school. It was I was nowhere near Catholic. Nothing. Yeah. After that.
So are you not 100% Native?
No. Oh, no. Okay. I'm
50.
Culturally, I'm 50.
Okay.
But by blood, I'm only a quarter.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So my dad's.
Is that why you overcompensate?
Yes.
Like me?
For sure. Yes.
Yeah, totally.
My dad's half. My dad's half Ho Chunk and half Norwegian.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
So, and then my mom's Irish. So, yeah. So, but my grandma, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But my grandma on the dad's side, she's Norwegian, but she makes like the best fry bread ever and like totally native-ized. So it's culturally, I say I'm half.
Yeah.
Totally.
Well, yeah. How get into the quarters.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, literally, whenever I think about you, I think you're 100% Native.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's my persona. So it's like, whatever. But, you know.
Wait, that's your Native name, though, right? That's not just a description of you.
What do you mean?
Little John.
Right. That's my, that's,
yeah.
Yeah. And we can go into that story.
Yeah. Dude. Yeah.
So the story goes that when we were separated, right, when we were put on the res and given Christian names,
right,
there were two Johns, head of household Johns,
okay,
right, Indian head of household, right, that's how it's tallied,
okay,
and so they had to figure it out. There's two Johns. What do we do?
Right,
one's taller than the other.
Ah,
so there is literally a family back in Wisconsin called the Big Johns.
Really. Okay.
And they're you know, some way related to us, you know.
Yeah, dude, that's crazy. So that's so cool that you're able to trace that lineage back to that.
But then there's it's a British name. It's a British surname. So I was stationed in England, and so when I was there, everyone kept getting confused and asking me if I was related to this famous writer over there.
Okay.
This journalist that's he's in the paper like every day, like all this shit. And I was like, it was kind of like new to me. I was like,
yeah,
I had just learned the story of the two Johns. I'm like, whoa, what do you mean?
Yeah. So did you find out that you were related or?
No.
No. Oh, okay.
I never researched it or anything. I just, who knows? I don't know. There's no way because their story is going to be different.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right.
I didn't know if he just moved over there like after.
Right. No, I don't think so. No, because it's ancient.
There's a whole,
you know, Little John and Robin Hood. That's probably where his name came from.
Right, right. Oh, that makes sense.
You know?
There's a whole bunch of Lindensteins in Sweden that I'm not related to. But, I mean, because my grandfather took his stepfather's name when he adopted him.
Yeah, like my last name should be Sullivan. But
yours should be?
Yeah, yeah. There's a bunch of Sullivans down south, but my grandmother
Manny Sullivan?
Yeah, I know, right? Like I think my grandmother took she didn't want to take the slave whatever name, so she took a different one, but also my mom wanted to name me Rembrandt, so it would have been like Remy Martin, which is alcohol. I'm just like, you guys are assholes.
Rembrandt Sullivan.
Yeah, Rembrandt Sullivan, that would
that's a better name.
Yeah,
probably would
but
be.
Then you'd have to play the piano.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't be a comic.
Yeah, so. Rembrandt,
so funny that you were talking
the
about.
Only Rembrandt I know of is from Sliders.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. He was the black guy, right?
Yeah,
yeah. So it was a great show.
But so I haven't been a Little John my whole life. I was a Little John when I was 19.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So I was Danny Michael Coughlin, which is my mom's name.
Right.
Up until I was 19. Throughout high school, so like all my high school friends, they still call me Coughlin.
Oh no shit! Okay.
You know, like Martin.
Yeah, yeah. Totally.
Lindenstein.
They do that?
Do they do
Like with
in the Midwest. In the Midwest, they do it big time. But
yeah.
So,
they
they see my last name and just go back to the first name. Silas. All right.
That's how they used to refer to my grandpa at, I guess, the Navy. They used to be like, Martin. You know, Martin, get your ass over here.
Yeah. Yeah, and then my Air Force name is LJ.
Oh, okay.
That was, everybody called me that then.
Nice. Oh, yeah. Interesting.
But But so like my high school friends, a lot of them, yeah,
LJ.
Mm-hmm. But so like a lot of my high school friends, they some of them don't realize,
mm-hmm.
and so like I'm getting random friend requests now that it's 20 years later, or whatever, and they're like
trying to
figuring me out.
Like, yeah.
Oh, that's that guy.
You know what I mean? Yeah, totally.
Because then they see my mom and my sister and whoever else that I'm
connected
to. Yeah, and then because my on Facebook, like I don't have it.
Okay, so when you were 19, my name was that when you became like aware of your native background or interested or something? Or
it was a weird like mind fuck kind of thing where I was like, yeah, like identity crisis kind of thing,
right.
where like this is my dad. Why don't I have my dad's last name? You right. know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I approached my dad and was like, hey, what about this? And he's like, yeah. And he got a lawyer and did the whole thing. And
that's cool.
Yeah. And then the lawyer wrote up all the paperwork, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to go and testify,
mm-hmm.
and say, this is what you want to do. That
yeah.
you want to change your name. And it was all written up as changing name from Danny Michael Coughlin to Danny Michael Littlejohn.
Mm.
Right. And I had a fucking panic attack on the stand. Like literally.
Oh wow.
Like I'm up there and the lawyer, my lawyer,
yeah.
is saying, okay, and he's reading out, you want to change your name legally mm-hmm. from Danny Michael Coughlin to Danny Michael Littlejohn.
Yeah.
And I was like, no. I want to keep Coughlin.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And like he freaked out.
Yeah.
And he's like, what? And I'm like, yeah, I want to keep Coughlin because like my grandpa raised me.
Yeah.
You know? And mm-hmm. I was like freaking out. Like,
damn. I mean, that's a huge part of who you are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And to be, yeah.
So. And this is 20 plus years ago.
Shit.
And so he had to fucking find a typewriter.
Yeah.
And he was like freaking out. And so he had to redact. The font is different on my paperwork.
Yeah.
Because like, it says now Danny Michael and then it's typeface Coughlin Littlejohn different.
Oh, okay.
But so I have two middle names.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Man. That is wild.
Wow.
And he's like, and then he starts asking me, well, do you want to hyphenate it? And all mm-hmm. these, and I'm like, ugh. And I have to make these decisions on the stand. And the judge is like right here.
While you're panic attacking.
Yeah.
No, I just want to keep it as a middle name.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and I'm a 19-year-old punk kid, and I'm like,
yeah,
man,
yeah,
it's tough at 19 though. It's,
right,
you know, you're still. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it just there's especially when your last name, it's like you've had your name your whole life. You know what I mean? At that point, and it's like, damn, do I really want to? That'd be like me just being like, oh, I'm gonna change my name to like, you know, Daniel. I don't know. Like fucking Lindenstein.
For the longest time, I was going to change my name to DeLisi.
Were you really?
Yeah, my last name.
What's DeLisi?
That's my grandfather's original name.
Oh, mm-hmm. shit. Okay.
And so for a while, I thought, oh, he'll like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I thought, oh, maybe he won't like it because I'm switching it off. Like, they left that behind.
Yeah.
I never thought of asking him.
Right.
I was just making all these decisions in my head about what he would.
Yeah.
But then I gave the middle name to my daughter.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Or gave that as a middle name to my daughter.
Yeah. Which one?
Sierra.
Oh, okay.
I was trying to pull the whole, I wanted to give them all the same middle name.
Oh, right.
But Gretchen wasn't happy.
Women kind of have the final say, I have to say.
Yeah.
Well, but I was like, but that way they always know, you know, that name is always there. It stays with them.
Oh, I see.
I was thinking also it'd be kind of a way to bind mm-hmm. my first daughter from the first marriage to my second,
right.
I think that was part of the issue.
You know what's interesting? Yeah, one of our friends, she gave her son her last name for its first name.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Her last name was Carson, and then she called him Carson. You know, but she's Aguilar now. So,
yeah.
Was it Christina?
No.
Aguilar? Oh,
I wish we were there.
You went to school with her.
So, oh, God.
Okay, so, but I do wonder when did you become when did the Native American pride come in? Was that always there?
Yeah, it's always been there. The like my dad never disappeared. Like,
yeah,
that's a fairly new joke I got. You know, Father's Day's coming up,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know about you, but I've been noticing lately that there's a lot more mothers in the world than there are fathers. Right.
Right.
And then, everybody's got a mother.
Right.
Raise your hand if you don't have a dad. And then I got a dad. And then I put my hand down.
Right.
But so, yeah, so he was there, you know, sporadically, but yeah. He was still always around. And like, he'd take me to powwows and to events and to family gatherings and all the stuff.
That's cool.
And he's lost a lot of culture himself. So he's still scrambling to teach himself.
Right.
And then that cycle has kept going, you know,
yeah.
Like I'm learning.
Totally.
Like, do
you feel like that's in the, I mean, I just feel like as a country, I feel like they slowly try to wipe out your history.
Oh, you know what for I mean? Sure.
Yeah. And
yeah.
It's like, I feel like at the Muckleshoot, and if I'm not, you know, mistaken,
yeah.
That the language was kind of being lost, right? Or,
oh yeah.
Yeah. It's, so.
Well, they're sort of lucky around here. The, mm-hmm. Their languages are all similar.
Oh, okay.
It's,
cool.
It's Lachutseed.
Okay.
And then there's different, as I understand it, mm-hmm. again, like, I don't know shit. So
yeah,
they have different dialects.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's Lachutseed is like the main, and then mm-hmm. there's, like, Muckleshoot may have a little,
oh, okay.
little different.
Right.
Like Puyallup has a little different, but they're...
But they're similar.
Yeah.
Right. So were they, do you think that they were, like, originally one tribe and then broke
yeah.
off?
Okay. There's a rivalry between Muckleshoot mm-hmm. and the Duwamish and the Snoqualmie. Like,
no
heavy.
Shit.
Like
murders.
Like, deep.
Oh, shit.
Probably, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I remember... Gosh, there was a family that like was saying, yeah, when they get these checks, like some of them would get murdered for like cash
yeah.
and shit, which was horrible.
Yeah.
So I mean, fuck, that's crazy that the rivalry runs deep, and it's like you kind of start thinking about that, like even as like in the Black community, it's like we're so few at times. It's like God, we're killing ourselves off. You know
yes.
what I mean? It's like the police don't do that enough. You know? It's
yeah.
Like, shit.
Yeah.
So
and like in the movie, the police are Black,
mm-hmm.
right? That's bothersome.
Yeah.
What?
In the movie that we watched, the police are Black and they're shooting off Black people.
Oh, the movie.
People of color are being killed by people of color.
The movie
in,
we watched?
Yeah, in Authority. Yeah.
Huh?
The cops that stop Calvin.
Oh, you're talking about
see you
tomorrow.
Yesterday.
See you
yesterday. Oh, okay. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet.
Okay. Maybe
so,
didn't watch it.
Oh, go ahead.
Real?
Go ahead. Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
watch
that's fine.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You can spoil
but
it.
But so, yeah, the you know,
yeah,
it's.
Yeah.
It's fucking everywhere.
Yeah,
yeah.
Totally.
Can I swear on this?
Yeah.
In case the reference didn't fall, because I was lost there for a second.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I had told Danny to watch the See You Tomorrow on Netflix.
And you told me like a month ago.
Yeah, I thought he would watch it by now. And like in case we brought that up.
Mm-hmm.
I watched it twice. So,
I got it
unlocked.
Okay.
Just tell it to you.
We started watching it. It just started off slow and then I kind of like fell asleep at
yeah.
the very beginning. But It was like they were hood, you know what I mean? Like in the very beginning, I was like, "Oh shit, this is like," man.
And it gets heavy too.
Yeah, and then I love that they had the cameo from, you
yes.
know, some Back to the Future.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
So that was cool.
Okay, so I want to ask you because I got an argument on Facebook this week. Was not an argument, a discussion. They thought I was being too sensitive, to it. But I basically brought up. So I was at the store and they had a sale, on. Tomahawk steak, the cake, and I was like,
because it's shaped like a tomahawk.
Yeah, you've never seen them.
Yeah,
yeah, okay. Because and I was like, it was actually a really good sale, so I bought it. but I remember the only other time I had
culturally appropriated
steak,
yeah, right.
I would not have bought it had I not had this discussion because I didn't realize that bone-in steak actually supposed to taste better than
without
get
huh?
more. Yeah.
Yeah.
Marrow has like nutrients in it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I was going to, I had to take this guy out to dinner, right? And he wanted to go to the steakhouse. His name was Jason. Jason. Former client. He wanted to go to steak.
Yeah.
And so he was like, oh, maybe you call and ask, call, you may have to order the tomahawk steak. And I was like, tomahawk? What, do they still call it that? Like, yeah. And then apparently they do. And I was like, well, that's weird. And I'd forgotten about it until I saw that. And I was like, I don't know if this is racist, but it just seems like we shouldn't do this.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Why are we calling it this? And like I said something to the waiter at the restaurant I went at. It's Daniel's Broiler.
Mm-hmm.
But just, I mean, you got it. You put the name on there.
Yeah.
And own it.
Yeah.
Do you? And some of that was being too sensitive. And I was like, well, why not call it a hatchet steak? Why call it the top? why in this because age I guess where you we're
would,
picking...
like, yeah, we would feel some kind of way if it was called the Afro Pick Chicken, right? Yes. You know what I mean? You'd be like, what the fuck is this? Yeah, yeah, yeah. You
know? Like, it's just like, I'm like, I know it's not like, it's not wearing a headdress. It's not a Dreamweaver thing,
mm-hmm.
but just still doesn't seem like you should. Like, maybe just, and they're like, oh no, it's named after an actual tool. Like, that's not, he's like, and he gave an example that he said,
are they cutting it with a tomahawk? That should be the deal. Like, if you're going to call it a tomahawk, you got to cut it, with a tomahawk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, and also, technically, I don't even think it is the shape of a tomahawk.
Right.
Like, I don't think it's quite there. So it's not like, oh, I look at this and that's the only thing I think of.
Right.
I'm like, no, it looks like a comma. I'm like, well, I'm going to call it a comma stick. But he said, well, some people were upset. They think the name pioneering is appropriating from the Native Americans. And I was like, I looked it up and I was like, well, the etymology on it, it's a French word. It's not really, that's not what it means.
Right.
Where tomahawk is directly taken from Native Americans.
Right.
And he's like, well, then should the French be pissed? I was like, well, they probably are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're French. They're very mad about their language being taken.
It's always interesting, like, how people try to make words something that they're not. Like, I remember picnic for the long time. People were like swearing that was like, you know, pick a N-word and kill him.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it actually comes from a French word, which is pique-nique, and which was long before that word even came about. So it was just like, I tried to show this girl.
Well, I will say, okay.
I tried to show the girl, and she was like, no, you can't trust Snopes. And I was like, okay, well, here's also Wikipedia. Right. Here's all this other stuff. She was like, no, you have to go back and check it out in certain books. I'm like, well,
etymology. I mean, there's a study of it. There's websites.
Right.
Well, like, I actually thought the term butthurt was a gay slur, and it was actually someone else who pointed out, like, no, it's actually comes from slapping a kid's butt.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah.
You're upset, like, because they're being so whiny.
That makes sense.
And I was like, what? And then I looked it up and was like, and the references that they found was that how was the origin? And I was like, wait, so am I actually being a bigot because I made that up to be a bigoted slur?
It's always interesting.
So maybe now I'm the problem.
Right.
Right.
And there's multiple meanings for everything, right?
Right.
So like the picnic thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen stories. I don't have any references for you now, but there's stories of picnics where that happened.
Right. Oh, of course. Yeah. You know? Where they
and so that's where
that's the crazy thing.
Oh, that's what every picnic is. Wait a minute.
Right.
I've been to a lot of picnics.
Yeah.
And, you know, there've been black people there too.
Oh, right.
Everybody's cool.
We don't have picnics. We have barbecue.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Well, see, that's the crazy thing. I mean, because at some point, society was fucked up where it's like, oh, there's a hanging in town. Let's go take the kids and we'll eat food and we'll do all that. Pretty fucked up, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But like we said, it's the breakdown of a word. Like, I know I shouldn't probably get into this, but today or this week, or actually last week, I put the word icon down for, I was making I was having a debate with my wife because I was telling her when I was 13, I felt like all 13-year-old boys loved and had an obsession with Mary Kay Letourneau. So I was like, she was kind of a sex icon, right?
Yeah.
And I put it online. I was like, I just wanted to see the poll. You know, she was like, no, people didn't think she was attractive. And I was like, I'll prove it to you, right?
Yeah.
So I put the post online and all these people that I knew from younger, they were laughing at it. And, you know, they were like, but I wake up the next day and, you know, there's all these other people that are like, the socially woke people that are like, that's child rape, that's not funny, da 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 da. And I was like, I wasn't trying to say that it was funny. I'm not trying to belittle child rape because it was wrong what she did, right? But the thing I was saying was 13-year-old me was like, yeah, this chick, especially, okay, here's the thing. Me and one of my good friends were talking about this. Like, this is gonna sound really bad, but that only happened to white kids, and you know what I mean? Like, black kids weren't getting teachers weren't hollering at us, you know what I mean? So it was this weird fantasy of oh man, this brown kid is getting a hot older lady to talk to him. So it was like being 13-year-old at that time, you think about these things and you're like, oh man, this chick is kind of cute and you're kind of just a weird horny teenager at that point.
Yeah.
So the hormones are flowing. But literally, man, these white people had a field day. They were socially this is you're a monster, you're this, you're that. I'm like, hold up a minute. I was like, never once did I say any of this shit was okay. I'm just saying this is what, you know, and maybe I didn't word it right, but I don't know. Is that a thing nowadays where people are overly aggressive on shit?
Well,
it's an overcompensation again.
Yeah. Right. Like,
I'm like, you did also because like you did say when you were 13, did you think she was an icon?
No, well, I didn't put that on there. I said in the 90s.
In the 90s. Well, yeah, but in the 90s, did you think that?
So right,
that implies back then.
Right.
I mean, I guess if someone was 50 then, maybe they shouldn't think of her as an icon.
Right, right.
But I'm like, well, maybe, but people who are young, maybe. I personally didn't think she was attractive, but I think I'm also older.
You're older, yeah. You're a little older than me.
And oh, was it in the 90s?
It was in the 90s, so.
Oh, so yeah, I was already.
For me, I was like 12 or 13, and you're already like.
Yeah, you know, I was disinterested in the case, I think.
Totally.
I was like, well, whatever. Yeah. Because also, I do remember we had my senior English teacher at my school.
Yeah.
Pretty much everybody, what wanted to get Letourneau by her.
Yeah. French teacher. Yeah.
And I wonder if that's a thing for young boys where it's like, we always had the hot older teacher, and everybody's like, "Oh man, I would love to date her or hang out or whatever."
My school had the girl. The girls had the hot. The guy
totally
that they were all into.
Right, right.
He was so sensitive because he.
And I remember, we had some of those too, and it's like, you know, and I get where everybody's feeling, but it's like my thing with social media nowadays is like, are you becoming more of the problem by being like the social justice warrior? When I see you comment on everything. When you're attacking everybody, is that like, where do you draw the line? Because it's like, for me, I see bad shit online all the time. I'm not going to go to war with every single person. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't have that kind of time. I don't have that kind of energy. Like say your piece, move on. You know what I mean? But there's people
Go ahead. I was telling Manny earlier too, like, this could be me reading into it too much, but I do feel like I often see people of color who make the same joke as someone white get a little more attacked on. I do feel like that does happen. I think it's subtle. I don't think it's intentional. Mm-hmm. It happens by woke people, you know?
Microaggression.
Microaggressions. Like, I do think they get more sensitive to, like, and like, everyone's made this joke. Why are you making, why are you mad at the one black guy that made it?
Right.
I mean, if anything, they should have yelled at him for trying to deal with a hacky premise.
Totally, right?
Like, they should be offended as comedians, not as.
Well, back to Mary Kay.
Yeah.
I think we're the same age. I think I'm like months older than you, literally.
Okay, good.
So I vaguely remember it similar to you, Silas. But later, once I moved here, and you see her everywhere.
That's right.
And she's in the news every year.
And I grew up in California, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I grew up in Minnesota and saw it.
Right.
And then come here.
And she's actually here. Yeah.
And they live together and they're married and they have kids and it's like this
totally
almost like a Cinderella story of like
right
they made good on on their promise that they loved each other
right
and that's where I think it makes it weirder it's harder to deal with because you don't have that black and white I mean my dad was 23 and my mom was 16 when I was born. Like that wouldn't fly today
totally.
But it did back in the day. It was still like it was on the edge of it. Like I think they just started going, oh, we shouldn't do that. I mean, granted, my mom also lied on her birth certificate,
nobody
knew she was 16. She looked older.
Totally. And then I get that you fall into that weird space too of grooming, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like
And I get that.
I think
we're aware of the bad things now, but we weren't then.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by grooming?
So grooming is, I guess, and I've just started to understand this term.
Yeah.
You know, because there's new terms every day got to learn. And
I'm learning, man.
Me too, man. And that's the thing. Give people the space to learn.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like, that's another thing too. Don't attack a motherfucker online. You know what I mean? Like, I'm still your advocate.
Slide into the
please
DMs.
Please attack people online. This is very entertaining.
But slide into the DMs first.
Slide into the DMs first and be like, yo, I get what you're saying, but like, you shouldn't be saying this. I had some buddies who were like, yeah, man, like, do you really want to go to war with these people? Just take it down. It's just going to be a chain. But what were you saying? Oh, the grooming. Grooming is when you are, so like a Woody Allen, right? You raise this kid.
Right.
Okay. And I remember there was a girl at Comic-Con who was talking to us about this. She was like.
But see, I thought you had a different meaning.
Oh, okay. Right. Yeah.
You know?
So
I thought maybe it changed somewhere along the line, but I know what grooming is.
Right. And so there was a girl at Comic-Con who was telling us she's a daycare teacher and she has to now ask the kids, can I change your diaper? Yes. And I'm like, the kid's only like one.
Can't even talk.
Can't even talk. Like,
and here's the thing. What if he's got a big shit in there?
Yeah.
And he says no.
Yeah.
You're like,
right.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I guess not.
Free
I guess
choice time.
Totally, right?
Now you're shitty Henry.
And I get that, like, times change and, you know, shit. I mean, you can't say colored anymore. You can't say Negro. Yeah. You know, it's just. But, you know. That's the thing.
But we're saying people of color.
We are saying people of color.
Which is interesting because I've thought about that.
Yeah.
You can't say colored anymore. But,
right. But now you're saying people of color, right?
Which is
kind of.
Not see how things change.
I mean, right.
But
also,
it's evolved
I think
in a good way.
It's also more appropriate as people are more blended.
Yeah.
Right.
We are of color.
Yes.
But
we're not just colored.
Speaking of words like tomahawk, to get back to the original thing, do you think do you think I was being oversensitive with that? Or is that a thing that I'm like, that one I should let go and don't make a comment about? Or, I mean,
no,
I'm going to the most biased source we have in Seattle right now, but for that question. But
I think there's a possibility of reverse microaggressing.
I know what I mean?
What?
Mm-hmm.
Reverse microaggression. So, like, I don't know, I'm just making this up on the fly.
Yeah,
here.
But I get what you're saying.
Like, you essentially microaggressed, I don't know if that's a word, but you microaggressed them and said, hey, this is bullshit.
Yeah.
You're not like.
Kind of like how they say
reverse
racism.
You're not calling on a protest and you're not calling a race riot and calling the Filipino gang down.
Yeah.
But you're saying, this something's not right here.
Yeah.
So you're microaggressing them back and being like, I see what you're doing, but let's look at it for a minute.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Okay. So was I in the wrong?
No, I think you're spot on
because I was calling out a microaggression.
Right.
Kind of.
You're calling out a microaggression and giving them a little microaggression back.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Because I'm along the same lines and I'll ask you this, like, and I don't know, like I'm pretty like I've always been this way about this. Two teams that like piss me the fuck off are Cleveland.
Uh-huh.
You know,
yeah,
and then Washington.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And I'm just like,
DC.
Yeah, DC.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
let's
DC.
Be clear.
Yeah, let's be
Washington,
clear. You know,
Redskins
and mm-hmm. and the Indians. And I'm just like, this would not be okay if we had the spear chuckers and the, you know what I mean? Like,
and it's
so,
wait,
it's
didn't
so
you say
so
the Browns?
Too.
Didn't you just say the Browns?
What was that?
Didn't you just say the Browns?
No, I said the Redskins, Washington.
Yeah, well, the other one. They said
I say Cleveland.
The Browns?
No, not Browns. So Cleveland Indians. You know that big old
who's
like
the
smiley
supposed
face.
To be? Wait, what's the Browns supposed to be?
I don't know.
Right. Yeah.
Is that
I
a
don't
bear?
Know.
I don't know.
I think it's just they're a color.
Yeah, just a
color.
Yeah.
What's their mascot?
Yeah. Maybe they're
what's their mascot?
It's
just like Louis on the corner. It's like
no, it's like a big dot or something. For real, it is, isn't it?
I've seen like just
a,
yeah.
Yeah.
And they
it's
have
like a brown dot.
What's it mean? Oh, we're just not going to talk about it. Someone's going to make us change our name, so we're not going to deal with it.
But yeah, I'm just like.
But that's an old, that's old, because my son was just writing a paper on this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been desperately searching for this old article of my dad,
mm-hmm.
speaking of Native Pride stuff.
Yeah.
He actually petitioned and was able to get the local university to change their name from the Indians to the Screaming Eagles.
Oh, that's awesome.
You know, not him singularly, but he was
a part of it.
He was a part of it and
that's
was
awesome.
In the paper and like and stood up and said, this is bullshit.
Yeah.
And it needs, and this was in 1989.
Wow.
And they changed the name and then all those articles have conveniently disappeared.
Wow. Isn't
you know?
That, yeah.
That, so my high school was the Millis Mohawks.
Mm-hmm.
It was in Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, the logo that
did
we generally had.
Did you have any
had,
Mohawks in the school?
Yeah, were there?
People.
Natives?
Yeah.
No.
How about the hairstyle?
No, they killed everybody.
How about the hairstyle?
Like the
there's
white
a
kids
chance
the...
there could have been, but it was like, if he was
late 80s.
It was a little before.
Early, I mean, late
90s. I don't know that there was anybody. But, I mean, the pictures that we had were always a very respectful
mm-hmm.
pictures,
mm-hmm.
the portraits of them. And it wasn't till, and here, and this is why, I mean, I see the point of view that people that grew up with it, because I'm like, we're the Mohawks. No, it's pride. Like, oh, it's strength. Like, I definitely know that everyone there looked at it as the positive. What I'm ashamed about is particularly, and I'm sure it happened before me and probably after, but the years that I was president of the student body, We had a contest to draw like a shirt for it. And I thought it was a great design. And everyone there was, it had a mohawk, a native, in the middle of a cemetery with the names of tombstones were the names of the other towns. And he had a bloody tomahawk. And it said, mess with the best, die like the rest. And
And
we're all like, yeah. And now I look back, I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, that was so bad. Why did we do that? It shouldn't even be called a mohawk. They should be something else, like the Mills Puritans or, you know, the little, like, the appropriators.
You're right.
That's
right.
Oh, someone should be called the appropriators.
Exactly, yes.
That'd be awesome. Then we do everything. We can take anything. Like, I mean, I'm ashamed of that now. But I remember, like, we had this pride about it. It was not meant in any malicious way, but I get, and maybe it's because I was one of two black people in the you know, school, I'm like, oh, well, things should change as we're aware of what we've done, even though we didn't have ill intent and we understand that it did hurt these people, like, to name our school after it. Let's, you know, and now I see the perspective more of the, because I grew up thinking, I thought the Dukes of Hazzard was a racist show.
Oh, because I love the Dukes of Hazzard.
But as far as I knew,
for sure, yes.
As far as I knew, that flag meant I love slavery. That's all I knew of the flag.
I didn't know, you know, same age, right? And so I didn't know that connotation.
It was awkward
for
me.
Love the Dukes.
Yeah,
right.
They're my jam. Even now, like,
it was awkward for me.
I give them a pass.
Whenever I saw that flag, it just, because I never really watched the show until it was on reruns. I always thought, oh, they're like, I thought it was a story about a couple of racists. Like, I thought they were racist. It was like, well, they have the flag.
It's
they must
so much
be racist.
Better than that. But
and, and my dad was like,
it is kind of that.
Yeah, they're kind of, they're a bunch of racist white guys. And then I rewatched it and I was like, oh, this is a great show.
Right.
And I will tell you, I would never watch the show if that girl didn't wear Daisy Dukes. I never would even give it a try. But I was willing to give it a chance for that. And I was like, oh, this is a good show. Yeah. I mean, there's no black people.
Yeah.
Except this one episode, and then he's a musician that's coming through town.
That's right.
But I was like, oh, they're the Duke boys. No, I get it. They're not racist, but I always was bothered by the car.
Right.
And so I was glad, you know, when they've changed it. The General Lee.
Yeah.
But I think there was always something watching it that I was a little bothered by it still. Like, there's just always this little,
you know, there's it's that's how I feel. Like, I don't think a lot of white people recognize that. Like, when you see a Confederate flag, when you're a person of color, that's like kind of like, hey, don't come this way.
Yeah.
You know, I remember, God, man, I don't even smoke weed, but like a buddy of ours, we were in Montana and he's like big in radio out there. And he was like, hey, let's just smoke this real quick. And I was like, all right. He's like, let's go backstage. And I was like, okay. So I'm a little high. And then all of a sudden I see this like Confederate flag. I was like, I shouldn't be back here, bro. You know what I mean? And he's Jewish.
I've
and
made
he
a
was
mistake.
Like, yeah, seriously. And he's Jewish. He was like, yeah, we should get the fuck back here. And I was like, God, man, it was nuts. And it was like, I couldn't even tell you, it was some old like rock band. Can't remember. But
yeah,
it's, I mean, you know, we see it
I
a
mean,
little.
There
different.
Is part of me that's like, okay, in 500, 600 years, let's pretend the human race still exists, right? Like, I can almost see, like, then, when you're so far removed from it, looking back and going, oh, here were these people that don't exist anymore, but it's kind of cool because we're all blended.
Right.
Maybe now, let's be the Mohawks. That sounds fun.
Right.
Let's role play. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, back then, but right now, we're just too close to everything that was bad.
Yeah, there's too much history behind it.
Yeah. And,
you know, it's like, I mean, you slaughtered an entire, you know, like,
and I know
people.
You didn't, person with the Mohawk name. You didn't slaughter them personally. You didn't own a slave. I know your family didn't.
And that's a lot of their defense a lot of times. It's like, well, my
family didn't
own slaves.
We were just rapists.
But then they do. Yeah. But then they do an ancestry and they're like, oh, shit.
Right. Exactly.
old uncle.
But what blows my mind, like, okay, because, I mean, history is erased for minorities, clearly. Yeah. But, like, I didn't know until about 8 years ago, while I was working at East Lake High School, like, I learned about, I didn't know the U.S. government attacked the Mormons.
Really?
And wiped out, like, Mormons.
No, yeah, I didn't know.
Like,
that
they had a Tell war. Me. There's a whole, there was, they are the only religion that Congress signed an order of execution against.
Wow.
That's why the Mormons are so protective of their area. They were actually, troops were sent to go slaughter them.
Damn.
Because they're like, no, they can't. This can't happen. They didn't like. Because
they think they're aliens or something,
well,
right?
No, yeah. No. Well, they own their own Scientologists.
Planet. Oh. I think they get to own their own planet after.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Well, no, yeah, but
I mean, so they're. I mean, that's not an international threat. That's a global threat. So it's valid.
There is some. Like I was watching this PBS documentary about it, and I was like, I had no idea that this is in the history. And like I went to check it out myself, and yeah, all this stuff was true. And I'm like, I had no idea that people rapidly just hated. Like, I don't think they just. That's why we need like PlayStations and stuff, like because people had nothing to do in like the 1700s, and they're like, who could we slaughter?
Yeah,
we killed all the natives.
Yeah,
we got the blacks in bondage. Hey, those people are a little different. Could we murder them?
Yeah.
Let's try to kill them.
Bro, it's crazy. I was in Rome, and like I'm sitting outside the Colosseum just thinking about how much death went on in this thing and people just celebrating it. It's like we're a very violent culture. No wonder aliens don't fight.
But could you imagine being the Mormons and they're like in a tent and they're like, but we're white.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
But I mean, you think about that. They were even like shitting on the Irish at one point. They were like, yeah, don't come over here. Yeah. And like, try to take our shit, you know. It's like
you're like we look alike,
but that's the thing. Humans, I think, not all humans, because not me. I mean, but there's people. I think to a certain extent, people want to feel better than somebody.
Yeah,
you know, it's like, oh, I'm not doing the best, but I'm doing better than that guy over there. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, fuck, man. Why can't we all just, you know?
Yeah,
get along like Rodney said, right?
Well, something I keep trying to remind myself of, I just saw recently, is that people aren't out to get you. Necessarily.
What?
People aren't out to get you. They're out for themselves. Right? So they're not necessarily really coming at you.
Right.
They're just trying to get.
You don't mean the government though. The government's after me.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they're following.
They're relaxed because they're tracking us on the phone. So.
But it goes back to grudges though, right? Yeah. So like high school grudges.
Yeah.
And back in Pioneer days they had high school grudges, but again, no PlayStations in time.
Yeah.
So you're right.
And no high school.
And no high school.
Yeah.
And so they just had grudges.
It is. It's so funny.
No
though.
Education and grudges. Yeah. That's it.
I mean,
did that guy just walk across my land?
Yeah.
I hate them.
I mean, there really is.
And his family.
You think about it, how many people have, like cousin. Just still literally hold grudges? I think there's people like from high school that are like, I'm like, damn, that shit happened like 25 years ago. And you're still like, I get it though. There was some pretty like brutal shit that people did, and it's like, you know, there's certain people that I'm just like, yeah, there's this guy who literally kind of bullied me when I was in high school, and he was just like, oh, you're not black enough, you're not this, you're not that, and then I was just like, all right, whatever with this dude, right? Hits me up later because he sees I'm working with Mike Epps. I just didn't respond, you know what I mean? I'm like, yeah, fuck you. Like, we weren't.
Well, people people ask, like, well, when are you gonna get over, like, things that happened with you and your ex,
get over it.
And I'm like, I'm still mad that somebody cut me in line in fifth grade.
Yeah.
You think I'm not gonna get over shit?
No. Yeah.
I've made an art of this.
Totally. Yeah. And I mean, I think that's the thing. It's like holding grudges. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, you don't want to burn every bridge, but then you don't necessarily need everybody. You know,
let's be clear. No. I have tried. I have worked on this. And I am working on it, and I have been very much, much better at forgiveness and letting things go. There's some things I just won't. I'm just like, no, I'm just not even interested in dealing with it.
Yeah.
But I, you know, that I am trying to put energy and my time into other things like
bonsai.
Gardening and bonsai and things that bring peace. I am putting myself into a bubble because it is more peaceful, that I don't see people that bug the crap out of me on Facebook anymore. Now it's just only when they comment on something.
Do you find yourself less on Facebook now?
With the kid, no.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I'm looking up gardening.
Yeah, yeah.
Now I'm joining bonsai groups, so it's a different one.
For me, I mean, I feel like I'm on it a lot less. And I think that, like, even from, like, this last week's thing, I'm just kind of like,
oh, yeah,
this is why I don't fuck with Facebook.
I know.
You know, it's just like everybody wants to attack
somebody. I'll go
somebody.
Off for a little bit, but then I'm like back.
Yeah, yeah. I only scroll through to get information.
Right.
And then you
might miss something. What if you don't know something that's
know.
Going on?
That's
I'm total FOMO, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm constantly like, wait, where do I need to be?
Yeah.
Did I miss? What happened?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, I mean, I took, I mean, it's a year, but like I took off the year that I was barely at Laughs, and
mm-hmm.
and of course that's the one time. So in 8 years,
yeah,
I'm there all the time, and then I miss a brief period of time, and then Just for Laughs comes, and I'm not even thought of.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, exactly.
That's why I need to never leave.
And, yes.
I need to always be present.
Yes.
I need to joke.
Yes.
Oh, I'm back in it. I got to do this.
The same struggle, dude.
Oh.
It's weird. It's just like you want to be present for every opportunity, but then it's like.
I want to live a life, too.
You do. Yeah. You want to live a normal life. And that's the thing. It's like you got to realize that at the end of the day, like a lot of these people on social media, you know what I mean? Like. You know, outside of your friends, maybe some of your fans, but like there's certain people that are just gonna be dicks. You know what I mean?
And I do wonder sometimes, like, am I not successful because I worry about stuff like on Facebook? Like, am I not successful because am I gonna be less successful if I go to movies? Right?
Right.
Like, or should I be focused on my I gotta work on some jokes.
Right.
I gotta
make things. But like, you know, I see like okay, like we had a former guest, Nicholas Greenhour?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Joe?
Grainy?
Joe?
No. Nicholas. The film director. Him and Eddie. Him and Eddie Z.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally. Okay.
They're down. You got to get his name right.
I know, yeah.
we just talked for 5 minutes about names.
It's not Green. I know, just like Greenhour. I'll edit this. Throw his name
there
in.
You go. It's going to be like, Nicholas Brain Hour.
You know, like he constantly goes to movies.
Yeah.
And he also makes movies.
Well, that's another thing that like I'm learning with some of these masterclass, like a, you know.
Oh, are you doing those?
Yeah. So like, I bought the series and just watching some of them. And even Spike Lee is like, yeah, go watch movies.
Yeah.
What inspires you? What, you know, same thing with, you know, Natalie Portman. She's like, yeah, watch how other actors are doing
Natalie
this.
Portman.
Oh, yeah, she's great. You know what I mean? So, and Sam Jackson. So it's like. I would say you need to analyze your craft to see what everybody else is doing.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not like you're wasting time. You may be doing research and you also need to enjoy these things.
Well, like with comedy though, like you're doing that, like, you know, it takes so much time to get one joke in for a night, right? 3 hours of your life that you're not, so you can't do anything.
Right.
Some people like what? They're working all day.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Till 5:30.
Mm-hmm.
Then they have to like eat on their way to the mic. Then the rest of the night is like getting to a mic and getting home from it. You don't have time to live a life.
That's true. And right? I mean, that's one of the things that it's like, one, I'm like kind of antisocial.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, there's a small group of people that I like.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And it's like, I don't want to sit there and have meaningless conversations for 3 hours with people that are like, yeah, I just saw you were an asshole to this person yesterday. Like, why are we pretending in this moment right here? And then I go up for literally like 3 minutes.
Yep.
Then I'm on the way back home.
You're out.
You know what I mean? So it's like, I think it's just picking and choosing your opportunity. To
your people.
Like, exactly.
Your
people.
Your people.
Exactly.
You know, I do think maybe that is one reason I started doing the gardening and bonsai and everything.
Yeah.
Is, well, because I can't go do a bunch of the things I like mm-hmm. movies and stuff.
Right.
Because I have this baby with me.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I need to be able to put my energy.
You
into
got an
something.
Anchor baby.
Yeah.
I got to put my energy into something that I'm enjoying and not just sitting here steaming.
Yeah.
Like about things.
Well, let me ask this, like
mm-hmm.
you in the comedy scene, like I feel like you kind of pick and choose which shows.
Yeah,
you know?
I do.
And like, has that always been?
I don't fit everywhere and I'm aware of that.
Totally. Same
you know
here.
What I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
I don't fit on the all
the
black
POC,
show sometimes.
That's
yeah.
part of the POC
totally.
Perspective
mm-hmm.
or experience.
Right.
We just don't fit in every show.
I think you fit in more.
I mean,
because
like,
you can do
extent.
A black show because they're like,
yeah,
you're so different.
Oh, agreed.
I can.
I can't do a
but
black
I'm
show.
Selective,
they don't
though,
like
too.
Me.
Like, I don't, I, you know, I like to wait until something's sort of established before I try and get involved because I don't want to be the native voice for everything.
Right.
You know,
it's a good point.
You know,
you want them to use the other one?
Yeah. Somebody's.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. I was actually going to ask you about that. Like,
but yeah,
I remember there was a, kind of like a native show that was like, it had multiple like native comics on it.
Yeah.
And I remember hearing this and I don't know if this is true, but one of the comics went up before the rest of them and was doing some of their material.
Uh-huh.
And then when he went back to the green room, they looked at him like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What are we supposed to go do now?
Right.
Like you just took all of our material. And so I just wonder, like, is it kind of cutthroat in the like native comedy industry or is it?
Sort of.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, I got in a NPR article.
Yeah.
Last year, the year before,
mm-hmm.
and and I kind of elbowed my way in because you know, like, do you know Howie Echohawk?
Sounds familiar.
So he's a fairly newer comic,
okay.
And I hadn't met him
right.
for like a year. You know, he'd been doing it a year or whatever, mm-hmm. and everybody telling him, you need to meet Danny. You need to be telling me, you need to meet Howie.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, yeah. Fuck yeah, let's meet. Let's do something.
Right. Right?
And yeah, so it was weird. Like I get wind about the, you know, FOMO. Like, wind about this NPR lady's coming and she's going to do a whole thing. And I'm like, about native comedy in Seattle. And I'm mm-hmm. like, so I emailed her and I was like, hey, I'm available if you want, you know, and mm-hmm. I've been around for like 8 years.
Totally.
So,
yeah.
You know, whatever. And she's, and, you know,
I'm available
I mean?
To discuss comedy in Seattle because I'm not booked.
Yeah, exactly. And she took, you know, and I wasn't like totally brutal, but I was like, you know, it is cutthroat. Like, you know, I like Howie said one time, like, he's like, it's a love hate. Like, I want to quit every day.
Oh, right, yeah.
And I'm like, because this stuff happens where you're like,
totally.
You know, but it ended up super cool. And like, she involved me and like,
that's awesome.
And we met up and it was, it's super rad article.
We got to definitely check that out. I mean, I've noticed that, though. It's like, you know, in my career, I feel like I hated comedy more than I've loved it.
Yeah.
Like, it always feels great when I get off stage. But like, you can ask Silas, I'm always like super negative before I'm about to go on stage. And I'm like, this is going to suck. This is this. And then it always seems to go well.
Yeah.
You know, but it's
every bar I walk into.
Yeah.
I swear.
Yeah.
Why did I fucking say
why did I sign up for this?
Why did I do this?
Mm-hmm. I know.
And there, here I am.
But it's a double-edged sword. Like, I want someone else's voice out there,
right?
But I also kind of want to be included, you know?
Totally.
Like, that's what this NPR thing happened. Like, I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
I'm not the guy, but I want to be included a little bit.
Totally.
Yeah.
And that's
you
how,
know?
Yeah. I mean, that's exactly how it was with the Comedy Central thing. It was like, I want to be in the same breath of, like, whatever the best comics are they think for this. And, I mean, you just kind of stay grounded, and same thing with the Just for Laughs thing, you know. It's like, I've done enough where they're like, hey, you know.
Yeah. So, but along the lines of the material stuff,
mm-hmm.
so like Howie has a joke where he speaks Pawnee.
He's
Pawnee.
Mm-hmm.
So he speaks Pawnee,
right,
and does a very similar joke to mine, right? Mm-hmm. And so I had a discussion with him. I was like, look, dude, this is the kind of joke where it belongs to all of us,
mm-hmm.
because we're retaking our language.
Totally.
Like, this it's not mine.
Yeah, yeah.
This is what I told him. I was like, you go with whatever language stuff.
Right.
We need to get it out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so
it's fascinating.
Is,
like,
because it's because our experiences are so similar.
Right.
That,
right. Right.
That we do end up, you know, stealing jokes in ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm very cognizant of it and try and be careful with and watch what other people are doing so that
you don't
step on
it.
Yeah. Like, I've got a new one that I want to run by you guys maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that's the interesting thing is like, that's probably why I don't watch a lot of comedy is because I don't want to ever feel like, oh, I thought of that, but I really didn't.
Yes.
Like, we actually had this thing where I did a joke on Comedy Central, and then this really famous comic does it in their 2019 special. Mine was in 2017.
Right.
And the premise isn't that like original.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But when you see it, the mannerisms are kind of similar. Yeah. The wordage is similar. So I'm like, did they see my shit and do it? But it is a shared experience.
Yes.
But when they say that it happened in an office, I'm like, you haven't worked in an office in forever. And mine is exactly about that.
I think it was a writer. I think a writer
saw it. A writer probably saw my shit.
Yeah.
And took
Or mm-hmm. I think the honest thing is the writer saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they were going to write jokes, it just was in their head.
Yes.
And they started writing it.
Yep.
I think they didn't even mean to. They just
probably
started
not.
Writing it.
Yeah,
I think that happens a lot.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
I had one where a Tacoma comic actually messaged me and was like, you're doing my joke kind of thing, right?
Whoa. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And he's a guy like you guys will know him. I don't want to say his name.
Yeah, yeah, we'll
he's moved.
Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And not to say like I made him move.
That nervous.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, now I'm gonna look through all the comics that moved.
Right.
But so he, you know, he came at me and was like you're doing my joke. It was you know, semi-pleasant, you know.
Right.
But I went back at him and I was like, well, when did you start doing the joke?
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And then he told me, and I was like, well, and then I sent him a link from, like, it's a joke I've been doing since the get-go.
Right. You're like, look,
I don't change my material. Yeah. So I
am not a level where I am swapping stuff out every day. You're right. Tell you what.
I get a new minute a year.
Right? Yeah. And I mean, that's I'm at the same point. I mean, Jay Hollingsworth told me that early. He was like, record everything.
Yeah.
Because he was like, that way, if anybody ever tries to say you stole it, you have the video proof here.
Exactly. Yeah. I audio record everything.
Right.
For that reason, and totally. So I can review it and blah blah blah.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. I have all these clips in YouTube. They're not public, but they're all private and they're saved, but they're stamped with a timestamp on it.
Yeah.
That's nice.
When did you were doing comedy for a long time and then you kind of started switching into filmmaking?
Yeah.
Was filmmaking always an interest as well? Or was that
you'll like this. You might know the dude. I signed up with this dude in Bellevue back in 03 when I first moved here, 03, 04, from the back of the freaking Stranger.
What? Ad. What do you mean you signed?
I signed up with this
like an agency?
Dude. Yeah. But it was sketchy.
Okay.
But I signed up.
Did they want you to buy stuff from them?
Yeah.
Oh.
You know. Like.
Was it Robert Powers?
No.
That's a rip.
You want me to say a name? It's a guy you might know, but I'd never seen him before or since. But he's like a stand-in actor and a character actor, and he's done a lot of stuff.
Mm, okay.
And so he had some clout, or what seemed like clout.
As a manager? He was working as a manager?
Like a manager, and then, you know, and then he had like a wardrobe room at his house and like a whole, you know, a whole thing.
Yeah,
He was like an indie.
I have a wardrobe room at my house, but it's
you know, yeah.
We're not gonna talk about that.
And he like wanted me to change into his clothes to do a headshot and stuff like that, you know? And it seemed legit. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but it went nowhere, right?
Right.
But this was back when I like 04, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And, but nothing happened. Like I put in for something here and there and nothing ever happened.
Right.
Yeah. But so yeah.
Okay.
Michael Fields.
Okay. No, not familiar. Yeah. Did
you can edit that out.
I try not to edit actually. But did you? But that wasn't filmmaking. That was just trying to act.
No,
right.
No, I was just trying to act at the time. But no, I didn't think too much about filmmaking myself until my now ex-wife she was a filmmaker.
Oh, she was already.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
She had already
school for it, or?
She had done some school for it, I think, and some classes and whatnot.
Was she is she native?
No. She's
brown, right?
Yeah. I don't know if we want to talk about her, but
she has
an ancestry type situation that's a really good story that she should tell at some point.
Oh,
yes.
Okay, yeah, cool. Yeah. Totally, yeah.
It's heavy.
Okay.
So she got you into the filmmaking.
Right.
And have you done aside from working with me on Coming Out, which you can watch on Amazon Prime?
Yeah.
It's
rad. I love it.
Did you have you worked on other projects around town then?
So from that, so what you're talking about, I made a feature film with my ex-wife. It's in the can. I think she's got it. It's sort of in this custody battle because I'm technically the executive producer.
Right.
Because I put it on my credit card. Mm-hmm. And so it's in the can and it's all edited, but I think she's waiting until everything clears before she releases it.
Right. Okay.
But yeah, so I'm acting in it. My kids are in it. And I've done every job on a set pretty much from doing that feature, right?
Yeah.
And so I gained, and we've discussed this before, I've gained like all this random knowledge. I'm no expert in any of it, but I've done audio on a set and blah blah blah, you know. I've been a gaffer, I've been a grip, whatever.
Right. Yeah.
And so from that I met all these people because of that crew on the movie Never Mind the Knife, it's called. And so they periodically will reach out to me if they need an extra hand.
That's awesome.
So I've been on a couple different sets here and there.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Is that something you would like to pursue for?
Yeah.
Like LJ is really into it, right?
Or And we just had a meeting with his counselor because he's he's got no direction now that he's graduating next week. And
well, I need to message him
with his AA, and I want him to talk to you about Evergreen.
I didn't go to Evergreen.
I thought you did.
No.
Oh, I thought you did.
My wife went to Evergreen.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. And you kind of can create almost your own degree over there.
Yeah.
You
know, which where did you go?
It was like Chico, California.
Oh, I thought you went to Evergreen for a while.
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm sure that there's other like actors.
I was
like,
yeah.
Why? Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, I knew that. Like, yeah. I knew you were in Chico too. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was stationed down there.
I want to see if
you
also do the 48 this year.
Yeah.
That's
help us out. And check your calendar too.
Yeah, for sure.
Have you watched a lot of native films?
Most of them.
Most of them.
there's quite a few out there. Yeah.
It
depends on what you mean by that. Because his Dances with Wolves, a native film.
Good call, right? So you mean authentically made.
You know what I mean? Like Smoke Signals is a native film.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't have any others on the top of my head.
Like Dances with Wolves, I'm like, I don't think. I remember.
Like,
okay,
I mean, it can't be like a white savior native movie,
okay,
right?
Years ago.
I mean, I love Dances with Wolves. It's got its place.
Right.
It's damaged, but it's.
Yeah.
So as a mixed person, it's hard to find.
That's the Mohicans.
Usually when people put down something like, hey, we're looking for this, we're looking for that, I'm not any of it.
Right.
Right. So I usually go in to try to pass as whatever.
Yes.
And so it was something like, it was only like a couple years in, because I remember one of our local warriors said something. Social warrior.
Yeah.
No offense.
Yeah. I'm a social warrior.
They said,
keyboard warrior.
I asked people, hey, do you think I could pass as native? Because there was a movie coming out, and they were looking. And I was like, well, they're not going to find any.
Right.
Yeah. I'm not going to find enough. Exactly. So I wonder if it. And someone said, well, regardless if you could, you shouldn't, because those should go to the roles of actual natives. Right. I'm like, yeah, but they don't exist.
Right.
They're not going to. Like they're
right.
You can just grab natives, but they're not actors.
Yeah.
So they're not going to be able to do the role.
Yeah, what did Chris Rock say? Like the Thanksgiving parade is a bunch of Puerto Ricans with feathers.
Yeah.
Like instead of the real.
Well, natives. And then there's but I can see why they wouldn't do it. Like,
yeah.
But like I was thinking, Lou Diamond.
Yeah, I'm not going to sign up for that.
Lou Diamond Phillips.
Exactly right.
Lou Diamond Phillips does everything, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And I was saying, like, well, as an actor, I don't pick and choose. If they think I can fit it, then it's my job to.
To
betray it
to the best of my ability.
And I don't know if I still agree with that. I still do think, like, yeah, you should probably authentically try to cast it. But if you can't,
right,
is it better for the story not to be told? Or the question is it better for this story to be told in a real shitty manner because nobody, they can't get a good actor?
Case in point, Rocket Man. I don't know if the actor for that is truly gay, but he played Elton John. Did a great job.
That's
a good question, because in the game we're very used to people who aren't gay playing gay characters,
right?
And so is it the same then for race? Like, I don't know, where do you draw the line of that you can't do that?
Yeah,
people gave a horror. Now we're doing it with trans folks, right? Because there's trans that are people have been portraying trans characters that are not,
right?
And
I mean,
like, are we just going to make everything reality TV? Like, no, if you're not that, you can't be it. And so
But that's the thing. And it goes back to the whole, like, just online. Like, who gave you the authority to make the rules? You know what I mean? It's like.
What's a Xanadu?
What was that?
Xanadu? What's her name? From Spider-Man?
I don't remember.
Oh, I don't know. My son would know.
There's an actress. There's an actress. I think she was the one that's playing in Spider-Man, playing the part, not. His love interest.
Oh, okay, yeah. Zaya.
A funny name.
Right. Yeah.
Is that Xanadu?
It's not.
That just the musical?
No, I think it's something like that. Zayna.
So she turned down a role in Black Panther because she said she's too light skinned. And she said, yeah. No, she made it. And she's finally said, I just don't think I can do this because I think it should be portrayed by darker people, and too much Hollywood is casting. Like two light skinned people, there's a prejudice against dark skinned, and that was she was making a stand. A few actors have actually light skinned actresses have said that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's backed the same thing with what's her name? Scarlett Johansson got cast for I think
it's different.
what? No, I mean, what, didn't she get cast for like a trans role or something? And
then oh,
she, like,
yeah,
backed
she
out
did.
Of it?
Yeah.
Oh, a trans?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you were gonna say the Asian.
Yeah.
No. Well, but I mean,
I feel the same way as that. Like, I don't put in for, like, people send me, you know, character stuff, and they're like, here's a native role. And
right.
Sometimes I don't.
You don't want to.
You know, I don't. I don't
time.
Put in for it because I feel too light skinned.
Oh,
you know,
I see.
It's an internal thing. Like.
Yeah.
I could pull it off, I'm sure. But
my agent sends me. They say ethnically ambiguous.
Yeah,
they want
to
see anybody. And I went to this Turkish airline commercial.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't not. I don't look anything like these people.
You look a little Turkish.
Yeah, you could be Turkish.
You say that now. Put me next to a Turkish person,
yeah,
and you're like, oh no, you're not.
Well,
because that's what
no,
that happened to me. I'm walking
there,
and I'm like, oh no, they look Turkish.
Yeah,
they look. I don't look like.
No.
Yeah,
I've lived in the Middle East, and so
right,
it's any shape form of person is Middle Easterner, and I mean that. There's
really?
There's blonde haired, blue eyed Middle Easterners.
Yeah,
they're not. They're not fake, and they're not Europeans that
what do you think?
Have been hanging out for a long time. They're actually culturally, and they've been born.
Right. So, but here's the question. Here's the question about filmmaking, though. Do you think that we often don't cast the reality, right? We cast what everyone's perception of the reality is. Because what was I watching last night? I was watching something that I was like, I mean, it's like you can't say that all. Like, okay, there are blonde Latinas.
Yeah,
they're just blonde.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Not in movies,
right?
Never. It can't take place in Mexico City and her be blonde.
Right. Yeah.
That would make no sense, right?
Well, it
except
does
that
make
it's
sense.
Real.
That's what
except
I mean.
That in reality it is.
Yeah.
But we
so,
as an
yes,
audience have to.
Yeah, yeah.
We're always
I'm
casting like, well,
you know, it's so tough too because it's like, do you pass up the role of a lifetime that's going to finally break you in the industry, or are you just going to play it safe? You know, and I mean, but here's the thing: it's like.
I'm a safety guy.
Yeah, and here's the thing. We live in this time of outrage over shit that it's like, really? Are you mad about this too? You know what I mean? And it's back to my thing. But like, I get it. Like, I may not envision a black Superman. But if Hollywood wants to cast it, fuck, cast it and try it. And the audience will let you know if they don't like it.
I think
figure
if you're
out the storyline,
you
know, because you gotta do something to explain it.
Exactly.
You know?
Right.
That's how I feel about those kinds of iconic changes.
Totally. Like he came from Black Krypton.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah, so.
The sun burnt him.
You made it.
Yeah.
He's
right,
like,
right.
How do you think I'm a...
Yeah, his pigment changed significantly when he came to the yellow sun.
His... His reentry,
right? Yeah, totally
blackened him.
I think I would probably take anything,
to
get. But I think once I was
to get
there,
black Superman.
No.
Like you would? You take a gay?
I
role?
Would take a role
or a trans role. Or... you know,
see the script.
Yeah. I mean, if it's
no,
the perfect script.
What I'm saying is, like, I would take the role generally. Probably if I thought this was gonna make me famous, I would take it. If I was already famous and I had the money,
then
I would pass.
Exactly.
Because I'd be like, no, I don't need to. So I'm not gonna.
And that's
I'm not gonna disrupt it.
And ultimately, that
like Scarlett Johansson shouldn't have taken the Asian role.
Right.
Like she should have been like, no,
right.
I can't do that.
But here's and here's the thing: all the people that are shitting on you online for taking the role would have taken the role themselves. You know what I mean? If they were like, oh, I'm gonna get $500,000 to be in Spider-Man playing this role or Black Panther,
a
month of work. I mean. Can you imagine that? Like, there's a white person out there that's, you know, a social justice warrior who wants everybody to, you know, equality, whatever. And they're like, they get the email tomorrow. Hey, we need a white person to pretend like they're from Wakanda. You know what I mean? Like, you know, what do you want to take the role? You're just going to be albino.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They'll be like, fuck yeah, I'm going to take it. Right. You know what I mean? They don't care about black roles.
I think there are some that I think would say no. But I also think that they've chosen a lot of choices heading to poverty.
Right,
you know?
I
don't even think they're scared of success. I just think they're like, they're just not good at making choices.
Exactly.
They're like, you want to take care of your kids or not?
Right, exactly. You want to feed your kids? Do you want stability? I mean, $500,000 would change your life.
Yes.
Right? I'm not saying that they're going to offer
500.
That. Yeah, seriously.
Grand?
Yeah. Like
500 would change.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, give me 500.
Mm-hmm. I've got a utility bill due.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you know, I think it's just where you're at in life. When you have different options, it's going to be a different scenario for you. And so, I mean, if we're famous, we don't have to take, Robert Downey Jr. doesn't have to do anything else.
No.
He doesn't have to choose a role.
He doesn't need to wipe his ass.
Exactly. Yeah. You could hire somebody.
He could walk around and smell shitty.
Yeah.
Nobody was going to say anything to
him. Look at Matthew McConaughey. Yeah. Doesn't wear deodorant. People deal with him. He's on every set. So.
It's like, oh, there he
is. I wore deodorant for the show.
Yeah. I think any shows coming up?
I think it's Decibel Brewing.
Okay.
On the 23rd at the end of the month.
Okay.
Oh, is that Laugh Tech?
Yeah, Laugh Tech guys.
Oh, they're such a good.
Yeah, I just did that.
We're on here.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, you might have dogs. You might have babies show up.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, literally, I had three crying babies. No, I had two crying babies and three dogs at the show, and it was just something unique, man. It's like, it is what it is. You know,
yeah. I've said this before on here. What I like about their show is it's produced by people who don't perform comedy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they don't have that. I'm gonna cast you. Like I was gonna mention in the show, like I'm actually gonna be producing a show, a new show in North Seattle, probably in September, if everything goes well. So this is a perfect time for everyone to book me in their show. So I remember
who
come
they
around
are.
My paid show.
Right.
You know what? Who was getting me? Who was on the train?
Exactly.
Who was liking my Facebook post? What? I don't even think you like my Facebook post. I do not think I'm gonna book you.
You're right. You got any shows coming up?
The 48er Film Project.
Yeah, that's right.
From Focus.
Big
Focus.
Stuff. Focus.
Tunnel
man.
Vision. I have to be because I got to email some people about, hey, you said this. Do you still want to do it?
Yeah.
I might have a location scattered out already.
Boom. Nice.
I'm very excited.
How about you?
What do I have? I'm going to Alaska end of the month and then doing some church thing. Ooh, that's going to be rough.
Dude, there was a church guy at Laughs.
Yeah.
On Wednesday.
How do you go? How do you do?
Well, he, you know, he showed up late.
Yeah.
And and Dave had disappeared.
Yeah.
I don't know if we, and so I was trying to help him out. Like,
yeah.
He's from out of town.
What do you
he's
mean
from
a
Atlanta.
Church guy? Like a
well,
church
he did a gig like in Lake Forest Park or something.
Right.
Some church for, you know, probably who knows how much money. And
right.
They flew him out. And, you know,
wow.
Yeah. Like a whole thing.
Man.
Pete Holmes.
what was his name? Yeah, Pete Holmes. but no, he was cool. And you know, Dave runs the list. So
right.
So I was trying to help him get on the list, and he's like wandering around the club like you do when when you're trying to do that. And then Derek Sheen took him under his wing and got him hooked up with Skippy and got him on the list and he killed. It was rad.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but he's a church. He does church gigs, so man. It's there's big business.
There's big,
there's a lot of gigs.
It's weird because it's like it's pretty well paid, and it's like I don't know if I feel comfortable taking the church's money. Man. I don't know if I should be tithing it.
I have no problem.
You
got
to tithe more now.
I know. Yeah, seriously. Yeah, you want to go ahead and put that back in the collection plate, but I mean that's the thing. I got booked for it, and he didn't tell me it was a church gig before, and I'm like, I'm not the like most churchy comedian.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, and so.
Wait, what were you told that it was going to be clean?
No, he didn't even say that. He was just like, hey, yeah, these people really want to get you for this show.
I did a show.
Yeah.
It was at a church. But okay, here's the thing. The way they sold it to me was it implied that I thought it like used to be a church.
It was
in a room next to a church.
Yeah, yeah.
And I brought another comic with me and we showed up there. And it's a big old church, like with bells going, and we're looking at like, oh, this is in
a wedding.
It's in a church because it was just some like,
it's a
it was some benefit. It was some benefit thing, and like, we're like, wait, this is in a church? Yeah, there was something that was like, and so we're just laughing, like, okay. And so I'm doing these jokes, and there's priests in the audience.
Nice.
And there's some
that's
things
a,
I
that's
cut.
A good audience.
Some things I cut,
for real.
Like. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
you can do all your drinking jokes.
No, so, like it was so funny. I can't remember
all
who
your
was.
Pedophile jokes.
That's right. I think I was told like we didn't know until like that day that it was at a church. Like I was just told it's a fundraiser.
Right.
It's over here. It was even like we can't something about they weren't gonna be able to pay much. Like I think I got like just a little bit of amount, and I gave a little to my. I was like, well, I want to bring an opener. So I just gave him some of my money.
Was it as bad as the cancer thing I had you do?
No, that was atrocious. I could say anything. I wasn't a Well, no. Again, it wasn't. I had no shock on the other one of walking into a church.
Right.
I know that's just when you don't. You're like, oh, whoa, there's no priest in the audience.
Yeah.
I guess that one I could say anything.
Right.
At least the church was at night. You know, right, so yeah, it was that. It was that show feel. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What kind of church?
It was a Catholic church. Oh, yeah, okay. It was a Catholic church. Man.
I'm a confirmed Methodist. United Methodist. Because I had a United Methodist girlfriend in high school.
Oh, so you converted for it. Nice. Yeah. There you go.
You converted for a girl.
That's the only reason to.
Yeah.
But I don't remember any of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Well, that's how it is.
And then I changed my name. So. It's not even valid anymore.
That's
a loophole. You got out. Are you
but I got another plug. I've been.
Yeah.
I'm trying to start a mini revolution in my little hometown.
Oh hell yeah!
With
okay.
skateboards.
Nice.
So I've been sending them back for benefits.
Okay.
Right. So far I've sent 4 back.
Okay.
So I basically donated skateboards. So
donate.
To go towards...
You're sending back. It sounds like you're returning these.
No, I'm donating them to these benefits. So like I donated 4 skateboards.
Right.
To go towards my auntie's wheelchair.
Oh, that's awesome.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I just got 2 more. I'm gonna send them back, and I'm trying to start little skate crews in my little 643 population town.
Oh, there you go.
That, you know, I had a skate crew when I grew up.
Okay.
And it saved me. It got me out of that town. You know. It helped me in
it
so many.
It got you
ways.
Out of the town.
In ways, how you know what I mean? Like it opened things up. Like now I'm seeing the world.
Yeah.
I got 4th place in a contest once.
Tony
Hawk.
Yeah, I still have. It's one of my cherished possessions. I have the
trophy. Nice. Okay.
but yeah. So I'm trying to start. I'm getting bugs in the ear for skate parks in this little town. And,
okay.
And the res out there too.
Yeah.
And so that's my mission. That's my life's goal kind of
thing. So what are you asking people to do?
Oh, so like if you have any skateboard stuff
or
whatever.
Connect to you?
Yeah. And any old supplies. I'm trying to send boards to kids that should skate.
I have some ripped clothing. Is that for...
Yeah, that'll work.
That's what most skateboarders I see.
Maybe some helmets and some knee pads or something.
I can steal Taylor Clark's shirt.
Yeah.
And there's hat.
Yes.
Send them out there.
Yeah. Shout out to Taylor Clark too. He's a rad skateboarder and a comedian. I have a theory.
Mm-hmm.
Do any of you guys, have you skated? Do you skate?
No, I can't keep balance on this thing.
Have you in the past?
My major, I guess one of my major injuries in my life were on a skateboard.
Man.
So I have.
Lucky I have my teeth still.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Taylor and I, and I think others too, have this theory that there's a correlation between comedy and skateboarding.
Oh, okay.
Because you're constantly failing.
Right.
At both.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't stop doing either of them.
Right. Okay. All right.
You know? I mean, if you're a real skateboarder.
Yeah.
I mean, you gave up. I mean, come on.
It was a pretty horrific act.
Yeah.
Oh,
I believe you.
So those fake teeth?
I'll tell you after. No.
No? All right.
No.
But,
I wonder if I was young enough that it wasn't my...
Oh, it probably permanent. Wasn't your permanent. Makes sense. All
right. But I gashed my mouth on my teeth.
Shit.
Blood everywhere.
Ugh.
But yeah, there's comedians, skateboarders, Chappelle.
Yeah.
Is he?
Totally. Yeah. Chappelle is a huge skateboarder.
Yeah.
And now I look at him like, it's so dangerous. It's so dangerous.
Hossein.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I can't imagine him on a skateboard.
Right? He's like 6'8".
Yeah, totally.
But I chatted with him after laughs one time and one of his last job before going full time comedy in a skate shop.
Wow.
So yeah.
Awesome.
That's
it's your working theory.
Working theory.
Yeah.
Comics do which Manny just destroyed right there. Like he's like, nope.
Rollerblades? Come on.
I used to do rollerblades.
Yeah. I knew it.
Yeah.
Cool. Well is that it for plugs we got?
Yeah.
Okay. Well
I'm sure I have more, but
got time here.
Check my Insta.
Check his Instagram, Danny Little John. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. This is rad.
Right.
Cool. Black and a half.
Black and a half.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission.
long, live long, and